Okay, you guys ready for the second session? Oh, you guys, I hope that you have got a big cup of tea, and I hope you're ready to settle in and take some major notes and really take some major, massive action in your business. Oh yeah, this is going to be awesome. This session is called entitled Uncover, Develop, and Share Your Message. Oh yes. We all have a message. Every single one of us has a message. And this is a message that I believe is perfect for our culture today. I don't think there's any accident that you are here at this moment in time. And I'm talking about you. Yes, you. That you're here at this in your culture, in your sphere of influence, that you are here with all the experiences and the gifts, the talents, the bents that you have. I don't think it is by accident at all. In fact, I believe that you are perfectly prepared for what you're supposed to be sharing today. You're perfectly prepared. You're perfectly positioned. And I believe that this is the time to jump in and to share your message. You know, I'm just going to step out there and say, I know that God is calling you. I know that there's no accident that you are here and that you picked this specific set and that you have listened through all of my other session and you're tuning into this one. I don't think it's by accident, because I believe that God is calling you to step up to your calling and share your message, to be the person who steps in as the person that is going to give that message to the world, because you are the one. Someone needs you. Someone needs your message. Someone out there is desperate for your help, your hope, and your direction. So my friend, will you step up to the call? Will you dare to let go of everything that is holding you back, that is stopping you from moving forward? Will you stop putting it off and holding out for some day out there when all the situations, all the circumstances, all of the things are just perfect? And instead, will you do this today? Today. In fact, will you take the time to sit at the Heavenly Father's feet and let Him uncover, develop, and equip you to share your message? This is not a Cindy message. This is really a Cindy invitation and an introduction to you sitting at the feet of the Lord and letting Him be your teacher. I'm simply extending the invitation to Him, because I believe from the bottom of my heart, He wants to teach you. He wants to speak into your heart, and He wants to speak through your mouth. So now, will you dare to step up to the call? To set captives free, to help that person that needs just exactly what you have to offer. My sweet friend, today is the day to step up to the call. And God has a mighty, mighty message inside of you. Your message is so needed. And I just want for you to sit and soak that in. It is needed. No one else is going to be able to deliver that. Let me just tell you, no one else knows what you know the way you know it. Does that make sense? Because it should. The things that I have got so deep inside of me, no one has the same flavor. No one has the same way of saying it, the same stories, the same experiences, the same lessons, the same easy tips and tidbits that I have. They may have similar, and they may have a different, they may have maybe even point for point sometimes, but it's still not the same. There is room for you. There is a need for you. Today is the day. And you know what? God can use every single thing in your life to minister to the hearts of those that you're called to serve. He can use your spiritual gifts, your heartbeats, your heartaches, your abilities, your passions, your experiences. And I'm talking about all of them, even the, or better yet, especially that one experience that you're going, oh dear, I don't think God can use this. Oh yeah. I think about probably one of the most difficult situations for me was when I went through a season of losing 7 babies. And then I found myself in the pit of depression. I want to tell you something. As a person who is known for being an encourager, having a passion, and being excited, and being full of life and full of ideas, I'm going to tell you, for me to hit the bottom was a very, very difficult thing. But you know what? I had tried to be superwoman, super mama. I had tried to do so many things just for everybody else. And I was dying a bit every single day. And the thing that made it harder, it was over 7 losses. It was also over about a year of infertility on top of that. There was so much loss and so much grief during that season. And I was having problems in my marriage. I was having problems with my finances. I was having just problems with myself. And do you know, it was one of the seasons that was my darkest in my entire life. You guys, I've gone through some pretty tough stuff. This is not like I didn't know what tough or difficulties were like. I've walked through a divorce. I've walked through my parents' divorce. I've walked through seeing things happen with my children that you don't want to see happen to your children. I'm a military mom. I've seen things. But I can tell you those days were my hardest, most difficult. They took everything that was inside me. And you know what? When I look at that, there's times I'm like, I don't even want to tell you guys how depressed I was. I was so depressed, I had to do a whole year on an antidepressant. It was a low dose. I'm going to try to justify it there and try to explain it. But you know what? I grappled with that. I'm the person that could pray that the rain would stop so my hair wouldn't get wet. And yet I couldn't get out of the pit of depression. Now I know many things that I can tell you were all about that depression. And they are so needed. They're part of what qualifies me for ministry. They're part of what gives me insights I would never have had if I had not went through the valley. And you know what? I remember the day I was at a speaking event, and I was there just talking about my typical mommy things. And I was actually at an evening for homeschool moms, and I shared just, I was kind of flippantly, because it was kind of informal in the home of one of the girls. It was kind of like a one night only with just me there with their group. And I just shared a little bit about going through the difficulty of losing the babies and that I had battled with depression. All of a sudden, every person in the room looked around and they said, "Me too." I'm talking about every single mother in that room. Some of them were in major leadership positions in their churches, in their homeschool groups. They were in government. There were some pretty big history makers, world shakers in that room. But every single one of them were grappling with depression. And you know what's interesting is that battle that I did hand to hand with the enemy, and that battle for my own life and my own way of life, it became worth it because it was needed. It was needed. Even that disgusting, difficult experience, even that dark season was needed. Better yet, especially that was needed. Especially that was needed. You guys, nothing disqualifies you. Nothing is wasted. Nothing is by accident. You are perfect for your calling. You have a message that simply just needs to be uncovered, developed, and shared. And you say, "But how, Cindy?" Well, I'm glad you asked. Because I want to share in the next bit how to begin. Let's take a good look at who you are, what you know, what you're all about, what you have in this life, what's in your hand, what's in your heart. Let's just take a good look at all this. Now, I'm just saying that this is, again, an introduction to a far deeper thing that I want to see you guys just dare to dig deep. The deeper you dig into this on your own, I believe that the deeper you dig, the more you're going to be set free. The deeper you dig, the deeper your message is going to be. The deeper you dig, the more successful your business and your writing is going to be. Are you with me? Well, first thing first, let's determine your message. Again, I want to take you back to the Bible, and I want to peek at a few of those speakers and writers that God has used for His glory. Turn back with me to Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 12. It says there, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Oh Lord, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I'm only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I'm with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build and to plant. And the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. Then the Lord said to me, You've seen well, for I'm watching over my word to perform it. That was his sign to Jeremiah that what he said to him, he was going to perform. He was going to make happen. So today I want to ask you, do you know that God wants to use you too? Really? Do you know He wants to use you? And there is an appointed time for your message, and it is now. It is now. And Jeremiah had the same fears, the same trepidations that you and I face. I'm too young. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to write. What if they don't even believe me? What if they don't like me? What if they don't need what I'm sharing? Hello? God is with you. He is El Shaddai, the one who's going to come in, rush in, and anoint you with power and might. He's going to go before you. He's going to take care of everything that needs to be taken care of. He's El Elyon. He is your greatest qualification as a writer. He is with you. He's Emmanuel, the God who's with you. Jeremiah, one of the greatest prophets ever, had the same exact fears, same exact concerns that you and I have. Just soak that in. Let me tell you, God used him. I can't tell you, he's going to use you too. He's got mighty works. There are people that are going to be set free in their lives. They're going to learn from you, and they're going to be encouraged by you. But you know what? Here's what you got to do. First things first, you've got to overcome your fears, your doubts, your insecurities, and you've got to step up to that call. I, again, have all those fears, doubts, and insecurities that each of you have had or you're dealing with, or maybe you're having them right this second. Am I the one? Will they want to hear my message? My voice is quirky, for heaven's sake. I'm from the South. I get too nervous. I don't know what to say. Is it time? Should I wait till later? What do I need? Do I have everything I need? Will they listen to me? Can I help them? Oh, Lord, send somebody else. Jeremiah had every one of these fears and doubts and insecurities, but God called him. God equipped him. God used him. And my sweet friend, you are the perfect one as well. God has called you. God has and will continue to equip you perfectly. He will go with you. He will give you every single thing that you need to be a success. He's with you. Okay, anybody shouting? Oh, that brings me to the next thing. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 13. It says here, it's talking about Peter and John. And I love this passage. It says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus." The message says it this way. It says, they couldn't take their eyes off them. Peter and John standing there so confident, so sure of themselves. Their fascinations deepened when they realized that these two were laymen with no training in Scripture or formal education. They recognized them as the companions of Jesus, but with the man right before them, seeing him standing there so upright, so healed, what could they say against that? It says in the Amplified Bible this way, it says, now, when they saw the boldness and the unfettered eloquence of Peter, I'd like some of that, Peter and John, of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned, untrained in the schools. They were common men with no educational advantages. They marveled and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Okay, you guys, this just makes me want to hoot. It says that they were unlearned. They were uneducated, no educational advantages. They did not have the educational advantages that you and I have right at our fingertips. They had no training. They were common, regular, unqualified. But here's their qualifications. The qualifications that I see that God saw in them. It's that they had been with Jesus. They were teaching with anointing. They were teaching with impartation. God was with them. And God imparted his message, his anointing, and his spirit to them. What could be a greater qualification or a greater help? And I want to ask you, what about you? Have you been with Jesus? Because you know what? If not, this is a perfect time for you to press into him. Let him teach you. Let him be your teacher. Let him anoint you. Let him fill you and use you and all your gifts, your talents, your bents. You will then teach with anointing. You'll teach with impartation. You will teach with a God who is with you. You'll impart his message, his anointing, his spirit. Oh, yeah. So that brings me to the next person in scripture that God used. Now, I want for us to look at this one. This is so good. You know, I mentioned in the earlier session about the burning bush. Let's go back to Exodus and again look at Moses. Now, I'm not going to read this aloud because it's like Exodus 1 through 4. I want you to just dig in and look at that. But here, I want to just bring out something I noticed about Moses. Moses was on the backside of the desert when God called him. Backside of the desert. And it was after he had made one of the biggest mistakes of his life. He had been brought up in the Pharaoh's home. He had been trained. He had been taught. He had all the privileges. And he even had a heart for these people, the children of Israel. But he stepped out doing the very thing that would be his calling of being their deliverer, but he did it in his own strength. You know, I don't think he's very different from many of us. But here's what I want to bring out. God called him anyway. And he is a perfect example of the fact that you cannot run away from the calling. Go back to your burning bush. What are you called to share? What is it that burns in front of you, that just touches your heart, that moves your heart? Take all your fears, your doubts, and those insecurities that you have. And I just want to just tell you, take them and lay them down. God is your qualification. God is with you. God will show you what you are to do and tell you exactly what you're to say. He's going to give you your material. He's even going to show you what to expect, just like he did Moses. He's going to use what is in your hand. Yeah, what's in your hand? You want to be a writer? Use what's in your hand. You've got everything you need. And he's going to show you what you're to do, exactly what you're to say, write. He's going to show you what to expect, and he's going to use exactly what you have, everything about you, to make the greatest of all stories, the greatest of all messages. You know, Moses had the same questions that you and I have when we're asked to write. Who am I? What do I say? What do I write? They won't believe me or listen to my voice. What are my credentials? Who am I to speak or write this? I'm not eloquent. I'm not good. Please send somebody else. You know what I'm saying here? Well, so much like us, wasn't he? He had the same insecurities, the same doubts, same fears. He had something on his heart for a long, long, long time. That's over 40 years. He wanted to see his brethren set free. He wanted to see them delivered from their slavery. He wanted to see them worship God. He had something that he could do that no one else could do. He had something on his heart, in his hand. He had the anointing. He had God with him, doing it for him, showing him all along the way what he was supposed to do, taking care of every single detail, like the Pharaoh, like food for several million people, like the foolishness that he was called to lead. This is probably the most important, transformative, essential, and pivotal point that you're going to hear this whole entire intensive. This is the most neglected area in the typical business courses and the typical business programs. Well, except mine. It has been a pivotal difference that has set me apart from my competitors and has moved me into a place where I don't have competitors. It keeps me always on the cutting edge. It always gives me my material. It keeps me productive, prolific, and very successful. Some of you are going to think that this is a big, big waste of time and that you can skip this and like, why is she teaching this? I really wanted to learn how to put my book on Kindle, in Kindle format on Amazon. Really? Come on. You can go into YouTube. You can go into Amazon. You can get those details. And if you don't like this course because of that, go. But you will not have the success. You will not have the success unless these things are taken care of. This is where you're going to get your voice. This is where you're going to have a power and an anointing and a message that sets you apart and that really helps answer the problems that people really have. The reason I find this is important is because truly, it has set me apart. It has taken me through seasons of my life. This has been, again, 33 years. And this is where I go back to. This is exactly what I go back to. Who am I? What do I know? What do I love? What is it I'm excellent at? What is it I've had to learn the hard way that I actually know the easy way now? Who am I? What is it that's floating around in my mind? Which way do I go? How do I have clarity? How do I get moving? All those things are things I get. And I know you're saying, hey, help me. I have all these ideas floating around in my mind. I have so many options and I don't have clarity of which way to go. You may be working hard and still struggle to see how things are going to come together. But how do you pull it together so that you are so clear about what you're to be doing? How do you clarify so your customers are clear about what you provide, so much so that you're the go-to person on that topic? How do you stay focused so you can get things done rather than chasing after all of the options, all of the ideas, all of the opportunities, all these things that everybody says, oh, this makes me money. Oh, this makes me money. Oh, this makes me money. Come on. How do you stay focused? What do you do with all these ideas so you know that you are choosing the very best project to work on at any given time? How do you know what to do first? How do you get unstuck? Well, you pull aside and you get to know who you are. It is so important. This is one thing that's going to change everything. I could teach this every single day of my life, but if you don't do this hard work, you're not going to have the results. I'm so sorry. This is not the place to cut. This is not the place to short circuit. This is that time. If it takes you the next 6 months to do this, it is far better that you do this, because what's going to happen, you're going to have a depth and you're going to have a breath that cannot be quenched. You've got to know who you are. You've got to know why you're here and what you're about, what you bring to the table. So pull back and get to know who you are. So many pull back and they study publishing and marketing and trends and the next hot idea and the next shiny little idea that comes by. But if you want to set yourself apart, you want to really get on track for great success, take the time to get to know who you are, what you are all about, your message to the world. So let me ask you some questions and go back to our guide and really take some time to think these out. Who are you? How do you know? What do you know? I'm talking about enough to be an authority, enough to share great content, enough to have contacts and relationships in that field. Do you have any special abilities? Do you have any special knowledge? What do you know? What do you love? What is it that literally you're so passionate about that if you had to do this, you'd probably think that you were on vacation, not actually working? Do you know what? That's the secret. In fact, I see a lot of people, and you may be one of them, who because they so love writing or they so love writing on things they're interested in, they think that this is like going to have to wait till they get all the other things done. I jokingly was on a recording just the other day for a conference, and it was interesting. We had this kind of moment that we kind of went off topic, but it was totally on topic. And we were talking about like one of the biggest obstacles to getting things done and to working at home was actually when we know there's something really important that needs to be done, it is so easy to go and get distracted doing all the other stuff at home. And we jokingly said that that's when our closets, our refrigerator, our toilets, our tubs are all the cleanest, is when we need to be doing our work. But I think sometimes it's because we just feel so guilty because we love it. What do you love? What is your passion? What is your heartbeat? What is your heart cry? What is that thing that you love to do that you would do, I mean, just for fun? What about the things that really make you smile, that you feel fulfilled? What do you love? Also, what are your gifts? What are your talents, your bents, your interests? Those are not there by accident. We take that for granted so easy whenever we think, okay, is this really valuable? Because we think, okay, this is something that's so everyday for us, but guess what? It's not so everyday for everybody else. You may have a gift in something that can totally rock somebody else's world. We were talking today at an entrepreneur's Bible study, and one of the things we were talking about, one of them were struggling with their wife being very, very depressed and really not knowing how to get her home organized, and it was depressing her even more. And I was thinking about that we had the experience around that table of several older ladies that we've been there where the everything was so overwhelming when babies were young and so much was going on. But now, because we're balancing so many different areas of our life, it's amazing for us to be able to see how much easier it can be. And we have so much to offer. It's things we totally take for granted. Totally take for granted. What are your gifts, your talents, your bents, your interests? Also, what is your message or your topic? Like, what's your favorite topic? What is it that if you could speak on this or write on this today, you would do it? Hey, don't take that for granted. What's your favorite topic? What's your favorite Bible verse? What's your favorite teaching? What's your favorite thing that you love to learn? What is the topic that everybody's asking you all about? That is yours. Don't take that for granted. Also, what do people need or want? You know what's interesting to me is that every single time that I get to thinking, well, nobody teaches this the way that it needs to be taught. This is what needs to be said. This is what needs to be written. This is what you really need. You know what's interesting? That's usually a call to write that book. That's how I've written 150 books. It's because those are the things that are just easy for me, the things that are natural for me, the things that I've loved, the things that I let people take a peek into my life and they can see a part of what I do. But it comes from what they really need and want, what they're asking, the questions they're asking, the things that are missing, the things that people are asking me specifically, the things I keep hearing over and over and over again. That's where you know that's your next topic. What are you to be all about? What's your vision, your goal, your dreams, your heartbeat, your calling, your experiences, your purpose? Because you know what? That is more than likely going to be the visions, the goals, the dreams, the heartbeats, the calling, the experiences, and the purpose of your best clientele. They say, okay, to look at yourself and say, who am I? Because more than likely, you're going to be attracting people that are like you. That are going to want to be like you, who are going to want what you have. So what is your vision, your goals, your dreams, your heartbeats, your calling, your experiences, your purpose? The closer you get that out of you, the more you're going to have to offer those who are going to be following you. Because they're going to probably be wanting similarly. Make some really good sales letters. I'm just telling you guys, make some great topics because it's things you're interested in. And it's the things that you're about. It's the things that you know. It's the step that you have just gone through or the step you're going through right now. Dare to know what it is you're all about. What trials and struggles have you overcome? That's a biggie. You know what? The majority of the things that I've written through the years are always things that I've just finished going through. They're usually the things that I've gone through and I've been seeking God or I've been trying to hash it out and figure it out. And it became a book. I think about my very first book, Language Arts the Easy Way. It was a book I wrote for homeschool mothers. But partly it was because I had just gone through a season where my son was very, very reluctant to write. He was so frustrated. I didn't know what to do. And I went back to some old paths that were methods that were used over 100, now almost 150 years ago. Time flies. But anyway, I went back to some of those old paths and tried those with my children, and it worked. I got so stinking excited about it that right there was exactly the first book that I wrote. Then the next book that I wrote was exactly the next thing I was going through. It's kind of interesting. I look back and I mean, so many of my books detail the struggles and the victories throughout my life. I believe yours are going to do the same thing. So what trials and struggles have you overcome? Where's your victory? In what way have you succeeded where other people have failed? Yes, again, people need that. There are people looking all around for what you have to offer. The areas where you've had success are areas that they are needing success. Write that book. I love it. What is in your library? Take out your computer. Take out your smartphone. What's on that? What's on it? What's in your browser? What have you been doing lately? What have you been learning lately? You know, don't take that for granted. What you are learning, what you are interested in, that is probably going to be some of the sphere of interest that you're going to be able to spark in others. That would be the people that are around you that would say, hey, I want to know about that too. And as you learn together, as you do community together and write your heart out, you're going to find that that is a big help for many other people too. But what is it that you love learning? Also, what is your dream? I'm talking about that dream that probably you've put on the shelf. What is it? What is your life message? What is your life purpose? What is that one thing that you say, I don't think I'm ever writing on that? Do you know, that is exactly my story. I remember getting started writing and I didn't mind writing on sewing, didn't mind writing my little column for the newspaper. But you know what? The one thing I said I wasn't going to write is exactly what I was supposed to be writing. It was exactly my calling. It's exactly what I'm supposed to be sharing and teaching. What about you? Is there something maybe you put on the shelf that is your life message, that is your life story, that is your life purpose? That's where we start. If not, you know what? We lose ourselves. We bounce from one thing to another, to another, to another. What is done is just simply stuff with no power, no anointing. There's no focus. There's just sitting there spinning wheels and being stuck. In fact, you get stuck and you have a hard time getting moving again without this. Without this, there's no focus and things are just not done. I know you want to make your life count. I know that you want to produce the very best products available. I know that you want a business filled with the very best products available. You want to be productive, prolific, and very, very successful. So this is where you start. Take some time to pull back and get to know who you are and what you're going to be all about. Then dare to be yourself. Don't try to compete with others. Don't try to keep up with others. Be yourself. Go your pace. Be yourself in all areas. From your message, share your message. I hear all the time people that I've gone to enough writers' conferences as a speaker, and I've heard them teach. Oh, this is the trend. This is what everybody's into. Let me tell you something. By the time that they find what the trend is, and by the time you write on that, the trend is gone. The trend is already happening. The people who have that bestseller that's that trend or that trendy topic, they've already been there, done that, and the next topic is on the way. The people who will have the cutting edge, trendy topics, the ones that are going to set the trends, are going to be those who dare to be themselves and share their message. So keep your message before you at all times. Clear to the world as the foundation of your business, the foundation of your ministry, and you will always be a success. Yes, be yourself. Be yourself in your business as well. Make your business all about you. Not the concepts, not the techniques for delivery, not the ideas. These cannot be duplicated, but you are the original. You cannot be duplicated. Only you can be you. And you build a business around you, then there's not going to ever be competition. If you build a business around you, no competition can deliver you to the world. You will always be on the cutting edge. You will always be established firmly. But if you design around a topic, topics are going to go in and out. People are going to lose interest in topics. You build your business around a certain season of your life only. And I'm telling you, if that's your identity is in what you're writing or teaching, and you can't move on, instead of teaching yourself and who you are, the things that are on your heart, the things that are your passions, there's a shift there. You can easily get stuck in an identity that's not even yours anymore. And you can miss the people that are right there with you that are ready to go to their next thing too. Yes, be yourself in your business. Also, be yourself in your lifestyle. Live your dream now. Don't put off till when the kids are older or when you have more money or whatever this stuff is that you put your dream off for. No, live it now. Don't put living on hold. No matter what you do, the world wants the real you. They want to see your life, what works for you, and what you really do. So dare to be yourself. Build your name, build your business. It all starts with the foundation of you. Everything starts with you, getting to know yourself. So do you smell the smoke? Do you feel the fire? Are you feeling that burning bush right in front of you? Because my sweet friend, God's calling you to holy ground. He has a very special calling for you. He has a special purpose for your life, for you. Step into your calling. Let Him put that message inside you, your mouth, your pen. Let it flow through your pen. If you're wondering what message, well now, let's pull back. Let's get away with God. Ask yourself some questions. Who are you? What is on your heart? What is in your hand? Where is your anointing? Where is your call? That is going to be where you find your message. Yes. Stick to that. That is where you're going to find that sweet spot. That's where you're going to find the anointing. That's where it's going to be easy. So you want to determine your message. Next thing, you want to uncover and develop that message. This is my next point. Yes, uncover and develop that message. Yes. So you've been asked to write. So now what? You feel called to write. You say, yes, I am a writer. Yes. So I do want to write, Cindy. So the next thing is determining that message. Go back with me for just a moment to Exodus chapter 2. Moses already had something on his heart, and it was the same thing that was on God's heart. It had been there a long, long time, at least 40 years. Because remember, he was looking down on his brethren, the Hebrews, from the Pharaoh's palace, and he saw something that moved his heart. And that's why he moved out and he made big mistakes. But in the meanwhile, now it's been another 40 years after that mistake that he's been on the backside of the desert just doing mundane every day. I kind of look at it as he was doing his commute and he was working his corporate job. Yeah. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. But the bottom line is he had a calling. He had a calling. He was not called to the marketplace. He was not called to the sheep field. He was called to shepherd God's people, to deliver God's people, to protect God's people. And so anyway, he had that heart cry for a long, long time. And at the burning bush, God verified that he, God, had seen that too. He had something that he could do that only he could do. God could use what was in Moses' hand. It was just a common, ordinary thing, but God could use it in extraordinary, miraculous ways. God could use him, Moses, even though he was a murderer, even though he had made big mistakes. And Moses had the anointing because God was with him and he would take care of all the details, even the Pharaoh. And my friend, God has a call for you too. For you. He wants for you to step up to that calling because you're the one. Will you do it? Can you feel the heartbeat? Do you feel the pull towards them? God has a call, and today the call is to step up. Step in. Get moving. Get that pen wiggling on that paper. He's put a message in your heart, and this is one you're not going to get in an hour. You're going to have to pull back and get alone with God. If you're stuck with me through this much time, you know you're supposed to be a writer. So who are you? And I'm not talking about your roles as a wife, a mom, a husband, a dad, a homeschooler, a church member, a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, non-denominational. I'm not talking about those things. I'm not talking about the things you do. I'm not talking about the roles. I'm talking about who are you? What has God put inside of you that you are here for? What is it that's on your heart? Which area can you see people being free? Which area can you see them doing it and doing it well? What area can you see people worshiping God? What is it? What burns on your heart? What is moving inside there? There will be a common denominator with that. I'm just telling you, whatever's burning on your heart, whatever's moving inside of you, that's the common denominator. That's going to be what everything is based upon. What is in your hand? Your basic gifts, your basic abilities. What do you do and do so well? What is your sweet spot? What is it that you have? What do you have provision to do? When you are obedient, he's going to give you more so that you can do the next step and the next thing. But don't expect for him to bless you when you're not obedient and don't do what he's already given you to do, what he's already provided for you to do. He wants you to do that thing. I'm telling you, if you're stuck, you've been stuck for a little bit, this could be your very solution here. I'm just telling you, I know. I myself had 6 years of a sabbatical. I think that along that time, I could have very easily have stepped out. Now I know it's the perfect timing, but you know what? It was once I finally said yes again. I kept saying no, I don't know, I don't think so, I don't know. You know what? It was all there. It was there the whole time. The provision was exactly where it was supposed to be. God made a way for that thing. And so what is it you have? What do you have that you can use? Is it that sewing machine? You know, that got me started in business and in writing and teaching. what is it? Maybe the computer, or maybe you've got everything you need at your fingertips. If you are typical, if you're listening to this, there's no way you couldn't have exactly what you need. There's no way. Because you must be listening on a computer, on a smartphone, smart tablet, something like that. You've got the ability. If you've got the ability to listen to me, you've got the ability to use that keyboard in front of you to write. Oh, yes. And then what do you have that is, where is that anointing that you have? Where is your anointing? You know, you can write and you can teach on a lot of things. I can, but there's a great success, and it's where your anointing is. So that is where you will have power. You'll have blessing. You'll have a stick-it-to-itness. You'll have an ease. That's where the calling is. Think about that place, that sweet space of power, blessing, something you could do the rest of your life, something you could teach the rest of your life, something you could write mounds of books on the rest of your life. Oh, yeah. So where's your anointing? Also, where is your calling? That's where your message is. That is who you are. That's where your heart is. That's where what is in your hand. That is where your anointing is. That is where you are to step up. That's where God shows up. You want success? Stick to your calling. Stick to your message. And then second, prepare the easy way. These are the things that I do. I'm just saying, you know, I found that this is the easy way to prepare and to share. The first thing is seeking God. You know, your writing is going to be only as powerful as your quiet times. Yes, I just said that. Your writing is going to be only as powerful as what you're learning from God. Because you know what? We can have a lot of great ideas. We can have a lot of things to do. But we don't really help people until we are vessels God can use. And He has to cleanse us, fill us up, and then help pour through us. That's where people really get the help. You may have noticed already a few things that have been said that really jumped at you. I can promise you they're probably things that were learned at the feet of Jesus. I'm just telling you. I know where this topic has come from. It's from that quiet time. You know what? Your speaking is only going to be as powerful as those quiet times. So spend some time with Him. Dare to operate on overflow. If you're called to write, you've been given an offer to write for a paper or a magazine, or even you're going to write your own things. First thing, spend your time with God. Let Him give you a fresh word. He says that manna is a daily word. If you look in Exodus, manna, there are specific rules for manna. But manna is a daily thing. It doesn't last more than a day. It goes rotten. It spoils. And you know what? I think that there are people that have got this idea that they can get their little topic and they can teach that the rest of their life, and they wonder why they don't make money doing it. They wonder why nobody cares past a day or so, or maybe a year. They wonder why they're a shooting star. Well, hello. God wants to be able to flow through you. I believe He's calling for writers in the kingdom of God for this time, such a time as this. And He's going to want to give you a fresh word. You know, again, manna was, the requirements for it were to gather it daily. You couldn't save for leftovers. It would mold. You would gather first for yourself and then for those inside your tent and then for those who come inside your tent. If you want longevity, gather first for you, then for your family, then for others who will come inside your home. You're coming inside my home right now, by the way. This is right here in my home. And I first gathered this for me. I've lived it. It's become part of my daily nourishment. It's who I am, what I do. And it's then been taught to my children and my family. It's been something that they all know. They all know. My daughter right now has been working on a book. It's absolutely better than any book I've ever written in my life. And I'm telling you, she got it firsthand. She got it firsthand. I get tickled because my fiancé, he is a musician, and he talks all the time about second generation musicians. His daughter is a worship leader as well, and she is so powerful. But she grew up with a mother and father that
were musicians. You know what? In your home, you have a potential in your home to train your children up to step up to their calling. And it is first priority before anything out there. I remember when I first got married, I remember being given a cross stitch and it said, the greatest work you will ever do within the greatest work you will ever do will be within the walls of your own home. And you know what? When the kids were here, they were my focus. Now, I mean, when they call, they come into my home, they are my focus. I drop everything for them. But you know what? Also, the work inside my home is my greatest work of all. I've worked for corporations. I've gone up the ladder with the corporations. Love my jobs. But you know what? The greatest work is through my home. It's through being able to give manna to others. If you want a key to success, people are not looking for just another idea. You know, writers bomb on this every day of the week. And they wonder what happened to their career. Well, hello, they skipped all this. They didn't know all this. This is kingdom stuff that you don't just get out there in the world. Because they're going to tell you all their how-tos. And they're going to tell you all these things that you work yourself to death. Trying to get your ideas out there in the hands of some publisher. Hello. I think that once you have that idea in your heart, you're going to have you're going to have so many things that you can share and can get out there. It's going to be what it's supposed to be. It's going to be powerful. But if you want to really see a key to success, people are not looking for another idea. What makes you want something? Isn't it a fresh word? Isn't it when you have people that you see that have what you want? Isn't it when you see that what they have is good stuff and it really works? Think about people like Joyce Meyer or Beth Moore or Jerry Savelle or Paula White Kane. You know, what is their common denominator? What is their key to success? I believe it's because they're spending time with God. They have a fresh word, they have a fresh anointing, and they're imparting revelation. Soak this in. Get this, and I promise it's going to rock your business. They have revelation they're imparting. That's what's different. Because that's alive. That is passionate. That makes a difference. So first things first, seek God. Secondly, brainstorm your topic. Now, I love this part. Almost as much as my time with God, but not so much. Just kidding. But it's almost. Actually, I consider this as a discipline that's right fresh from my time with God. What I do is I call it brain dumping. And I always have journals. I actually have a couple right now that I carry with me everywhere I go right now. And in those, I brain dump. I dump out all of my ideas. I dump out topics. I dump out the sessions that are on my heart. I dump out all the possible projects. I then even quote, like if there are certain things I'm getting whenever I'm having my Bible study, I dump those little quotes down of things that God gives me. If I'm reading some cute quote, I write that down. It's my one thing that just I dump all of those ideas out. And what I encourage you to do is have a special time or right now where you can make an appointment with yourself to truly brain dump. Then get a good look at all of the options. Which ones fire you up? Which ones are really pressing on your heart? Which ideas are important to begin teaching and building your business today? What is the most profitable idea? When I say what is profitable, what profits your business the most? What can give you some immediate cash? What can help you build your list? What can help you to create a new product? What can help you set up systems your clients need to follow? What can build relationships? What can help you get partners? What can help you reach out? Brainstorm. Excuse me. Develop that topic. Research, investigate. Break it down. Dig deep. Be the reporter investigating that topic of asking who, what, why, where, when, how. Ask yourself if there are steps, like a sequence, a process, a system. Are there steps? How many? 3, 5, 7, 10? 7 steps to what? Is there a storyline? Is there a flow and a sequence? Are there key points and tips and secrets? Are there examples? Are there lessons? It doesn't have to be perfect while you're brainstorming. In fact, you should see mine. I've got some messy journals. But you know what? It doesn't have to be in order. It doesn't have to be perfect when you're brainstorming. Do the order whenever you're putting together your outline and you're preparing your topic. Just right now, dump your brain. Narrow it down later. Develop it even more later. Just keep moving. And keep your brainstorms. You know what? Keep them all. Put them in sheet protectors in the back of your notebook. Or you can use those for blogging. Or you can use it for teaching an audio or making a Facebook Live video. You can use it for special reports. You can use it for bonus gifts. You can use it for a checklist. You can use it to develop the topic. You can use it for promoting your work for someone else and building your list. You can use it for another group or another talk. You may even make another whole book out of it. You never know. But keep everything. Keep it all. And then take several days to brainstorm fully. That's why I carry mine with me. I'm not done. You know what? In fact, if I have a 15 minutes that I don't know what to do with it, I have my notebooks right there with me. I brainstorm. If I may pull everything out and look back over the things I have, and it's funny, something else may be triggered right then so that I can then put that in the list or I can add that to the notebook. Maybe that I've had times I remember sitting in a parking lot waiting on my family to finish something, and I was going over some of my notes, and the Lord literally gave me every single chapter of a book I haven't even finished. I haven't written it yet completely. I've just written some of the ideas. And whenever I brainstormed it, though, it was my book that's going to be coming out in the near future that's There Is No Easy Way. And it's on the empty nest. I've not felt a clearance yet of writing it. Of course, you know, I'm still, my daughter is turning 20. Did she just turn 29? Oh dear. I don't even know what age my kids are. She just turned 29 years old. Can you even believe it? And, but you know, I feel like I'm almost ready to write that book. I love that book. Love that book. But you know what? It's been the lessons I've learned of being the mom in the trenches, letting go of my little ones. And now they're out there. Both of my kids are in the army. Matt's over in Afghanistan. Elizabeth's in boot camp. And, you know, there's no easy way. There's just no easy way. But I've got some insights on doing something that I feel like I did very well. I let go of my kids very well. It was hard at first. I've made mistakes. I didn't say I was perfect. But I feel like in the long And if you look at the whole big picture, I've done a really good job letting go of my children and being there and moving into this adult relationship that I have with my kids. But anyway, long story short, you know what? That came as a brain dump, and it was already, some ideas were there in my notebook, but then God literally flowed with me to develop all the chapters. And there may be more chapters. That's okay. That's part of the writing process. However, get those ideas out. Then what you can do, you can go back to those along the way. You have those ideas. Here's what happens if you don't. You'll try to keep all these ideas in your brain. I had something the other day. I thought, I need to write on this, or I need to do a recording on this. And you know what? I had to get up in the middle of the night and write that thing down. Because you know what? If not, it would have just been like, you're going to forget this. You're going to forget this. Or I would have forgot it. And I would have been so frustrated that I did forget it. So write it down. Keep that as a discipline that you keep throughout the years. You're going to be surprised. You know, through the years, it's amazing. When I have gone, okay, maybe had 30 minutes to an hour that I could write, I always had ideas. And I could make the most of my time. That is one of the secrets that I've had to being very prolific, writing thousands of articles and books and books and books. Do you see what I'm saying? It makes a difference. But keep an idea notebook or idea journal, a place that you brainstorm. If you want to do it on your computer or whatever, I do recommend printing that occasionally because you just never know. But it might be that in your smartphone that you have ideas. That's fine. But just have a system of keeping those ideas. It makes a huge difference. Next thing is outline. This is where you're going to prune and develop. You're going to order. You're going to organize your topics. One of my friends outlines and then writes out her message. She's succinct. I'm not good at that. I've done both. I actually had a class in school that they had us write out a whole sermon message. And you know what? I had fits with that. It was really hard for me. I do better with outlines and being able to, I know my stories I want to bring in and tell, but she's so succinct. She does a fabulous job as a speaker. I can't do it. I'm just not that good at delivering it that way. But writing it out, she takes and she outlines and she writes it out exactly. It's beautiful. She does a beautiful job. Your outline may not be perfect the first time through. You may not have the same results that she has. You may be like me and you may work on it and you may look at it. And when you look at it 6 months later, you're going, oh my goodness, what did I even have that in there for? But you know what? It's a process. It's something that you are developing. In fact, you should be keeping notebooks of your messages and notebooks of your writing and your articles. You should be keeping your information and having a very good backup for everything that you have that you produce. It, right now, this is not about building a portfolio to try to sell yourself. I mean, if you're going to do that, this is a perfect way to do it. But this is more building yourself a library of your wonderful ideas. But with outlining, how do you outline and prepare your message? How do you get everything ready? Well, the first thing is you're going to have an introduction. The purpose is to draw everyone in and get everyone on the same page. So decide what your main point is going to be, your main takeaway, what it's going to be, and then what you're going to do, you're going to take that main point, that main takeaway, that, and you're going to use that as a part of your introduction. So what is the main point that you want your audience to learn and to take away? If I were going to ask anybody to write on something tonight, and I were to say, what is your main point? What is the takeaway you want them to leave with? Write it down. Hello, that's probably one of your sentences. What lesson do you want them to learn and embrace? This is where you're going to develop your title and make that catchy and compelling. You're going to share this in your introduction. Plus, you're going to then support this in each of the points and each of the key points that you're going to share in your writing. Do this with questions that what you're going to be covering in the message or in the article or the book, with quotes, a Bible verse, a story, a prayer. But that's your introduction. The next thing is your body. These are the points that you want to make. Maybe you're going to share so many keys to blah, blah, blah. Or maybe so many lessons or secrets or steps or examples or stories, etc. Plan each point with a specific, clear, succinct point that's going to stick. Give instructions, stories, quotes, Bible verses with each point so that you teach what you mean and clarify each of those points and apply it to their lives. Make sure that it applies to the point and that the message that you want for them to take away. And then write your conclusion. You'll summarize, you're going to review, you're going to apply it to their life, you're going to give them a very clear call to action of what you want for them to do, the next step that they need to take, the commitment they need to make, or the takeaway that you would like for them to leave with. Let them know what you want for them to do and then move to action. Now you wonder about how to outline, go back over your brainstorming. Prune the rabbit trails or use some of those as extra meat in your for bonuses or for other topics or whatever. Group everything under key sections and categories. You're going to see the basic points to make. Decide on your key points. How many do you want to have? 3, 5, 7, 8, 12, 10, whatever. Preacher style. Plan each point with a specific, clear, succinct point that's going to stick. Give instruction. Give the stories, the quotes, the Bible verses with each point that you're going to teach what you mean and clarify each point and apply it to their lives. Then make sure that it applies to the point and the message that you want for them to take away. And then, of course, keep them with you while you're writing. You write with life and excitement and passion. You write with your voice. No racing through it. No, excuse me, no racing through it. No thinking that they just understand what you're saying. Explain it. Dig in. Give the stories. Give the information. Of course, also no droning on and on and on. Be very clear. No chasing rabbits that don't apply to the message. Make everything count. Deliver confidently and with authority. Let God flow through you. Do you have sub-points? Well, that will fill out your message and it gives you some meat under the outline. Decide how to order everything in order by flow or acronyms. Excuse me. By flow, by acronyms, by steps, by keywords, by action words. I had once upon a time a topic that I did that was the three R's. And they were revive, renew, re-educate, or real education. you could do recommitment, crucial, but making points. And then set everything in order, tie everything together, add in any scripture quotes, illustrations, sub-points, step-by-step how-tos, stories, tips, keys, case studies, examples, on and on. Then let everything rest, and then you're going to be able to come back with a fresh perspective. Go over everything, touch it up, clarify, brainstorm some more, prune and develop it some more, refine. Don't throw it away, keep it. But also go back over it like that. And then when you're ready to write and get it into its final format, choose your format for your final project. Choose what works for you. Choose what helps you. But then dig in and write your little heart out. And that brings me to the next thing, share your message. Oh, yeah. You're probably thinking, where, Cindy? Well, the sky's the limit. The sky is truly the limit. There's no lids, no limits, no boxes, no boundaries with God. He wants to take that message to the entire world. Soak that in. You today live in a time where you can literally share a message, write an article, and it can go anywhere around the world. You now live in a time where you can publish a book so easily, like through Amazon, that your book can go into bookstores and I mean, for very, very economically. Your cousin on the other side of the country can buy a printed copy that way, or they can put it in their Kindle. You've got so much that you have at your fingertips that you can do. So, first things first, know where to share. Again, the sky's the limit. You can take that information that you have and you can write an article. You can blog. You can make a special report. You can use it in an audio format to make a podcast or radio show or to teach. You can record an event with that same information. Your information, the sky is truly the limit. You can make ebooks, you can make printed books. You've just got so many opportunities. But here are some tips that I think are truly going to help you as we wrap this up. And we are going to come back for how to write now, what to do with your information. But as we wrap up this session, I want to go back over just a few tips. Number one is, again, make sure to take time with God. Your quality is only going to be as good as your anointing. Number two, stick to your calling. Be very careful to know your calling, to know your message. Don't run from thing to thing to thing for money, for numbers, for fame, for doing something you think is going to be trendy. Again, I think I hit that, but seriously, stick to your calling. God's going to bring people who need your message across your path. The more authentic you are, I believe the more successful you're going to be. Don't copy others. Dare to be you and share your message. Be real. Also, watch your voice, your tone, and how you come across. It can show your passion, and it can show what you really mean. But likewise, it can also come across very high and lofty. It can come across judgmental, know-it-all, and shouting. Speak with authority, but also speak with respect. Don't think that the people who are listening to you don't believe what you're saying. Don't think for one moment that the people who are reading your ideas are not on the same page as you. They probably wouldn't be listening or reading your stuff if they weren't on the same page as you. Think about that you're writing to your very best friend. Who is it? Who is your ideal person? Who is the person that you are speaking to? Because if you can just know that and think, okay, this is how I write. I pour a big cup of tea or a cup of coffee and I sit down and I'm writing like I'm writing to my best friend. I know that she's brilliant. I know that she works hard. I know that she's going to take these ideas and run with them. I'm teaching you, right? You're that person. I don't think that anybody that's not like that is going to stick with me very long. They're not going to probably even buy the first product of mine. They're probably not going to even be appeal. It's not even going to appeal to them. So think that same thing. Watch your voice, the way you speak. You know, a lot of times when I'm writing, I'll write we, because the way I see it, I'm coming alongside of you. Think about if I say you. Let's just say this. You be careful to know your calling and your message. Don't run. Don't you go running from thing to thing. Okay, you hear this? Hey, how about let's get to know our calling, our message. Let's be careful not to be pulled astray going thing to thing to thing. Okay, which sounded better? Know who you're speaking to and know that they're on your side. Watch how you speak. Also, repurpose. Okay, so you've got an idea and you've written about it in an article. Why not go back and take that same information, that same outline, and really develop it? Get it deeper. Go deeper into that to write a book. Or you've got a book, why not take some of that out? Take one key idea and make it into a blog post. Do you see? They used to call me the repurposing queen, because that is really, truly where I've written a lot of my books. I remember writing Language Arts the Easy Way, and one of those chapters, Notebooking, ended up becoming one of my best-selling books, Notebooking, Yes, You Can Be a Binder Queen. And the funny thing is, Notebooking, as I wrote that book, people were asking for some different pages to use with their kids, and I ended up developing different sheets that they could use for all the different subjects for making notebooks with their children. Then people were asking me more on copy work. Are you seeing? It kind of like, it kept growing and the ideas kept being more developed, or they kept going deeper. Or some of them, I took one idea out of it to really hone in and teach about that. You can do the same thing. Take that book and teach a study. Maybe make that into a workshop or a Facebook Live series. Maybe you may want to take the book and make it into a Bible study. I did that with my Ministering to the Heart of Your Child. The book was just asking to be a Bible study as well. In fact, I taught it online and I ended up writing a Bible study to go alongside of it. It was absolutely, I think they both are so valuable. But see, you can take those ideas and repurpose, develop it, move it into a different format. Like even Ministering to the Heart of Your Child became a manual. Written articles and blog posts, membership sites. You could even take those same ideas and develop them on deeper into a coaching course where you help someone that really wants your time and they want for you to impart who you are into their lives, and you can develop coaching programs. In fact, I have a coaching program for this topic. So if you want someone to dig deeper into this and walk you through writing that first book, or take your book and put it into articles or in the blog post or into something else, you can hire me. You can hire me. I offer coaching for that. You could do the same thing. You can adapt it, revise it, and you can use it in so many formats. You can also get out there as a guest promoting your business using those ideas. Maybe you're contributing an article for somebody else to put on their website. Maybe you're taking an article and writing it a little deeper into a special report. Maybe you record that into a audio that they could actually use on their website as well, or in a package like a bundle. I recommend that you use those ideas, repurpose them, make them work for you. You've done the hard work of getting the ideas, and there is literally no limit to what you can do with them. Also, stay connected with people that you have following you. One of the things, and we're going to have a whole series coming up on email marketing, but email marketing has not died. There are people that really make a lot of money off of teaching about social media, and social media is great, but it's like building your house at the coffee shop. You have a home and you have coffee shop. It's your third place, according to what Starbucks says. That's their motto. They want to be your third place. Home, work, your coffee place. You know what? Your social media is like your coffee shop. It's great. It's a great way to go meet people. It's a great place, a great format for you to go and socialize and get to know people. But ultimately, your greatest success, again, is going to be within the walls of your own home. You need to develop your website. You need to develop your messages. You need to develop your books and your business. And don't go out there pouring. I mean, we want to have time for social media. I believe it. Many of you are doing community with me. I have a community on Facebook called Stepping Up to the Call. If you're not a part of it, you can message me privately at Cindy Rushton online on Facebook. And I'll add you to that. But that, I am not so crazy to think that Facebook is dependable for the long term. My website is. My website is owned by me. My website can be shifted and changed. I've got it in WordPress, so it's adaptable. I can run it, or somebody else could be hired in as a developer to run my website for me. There's no limits. And so, stay connected with people. Don't think that you don't need a list. I was listening the other day to like numbers of what the conversions are looking like from like social media. Some of the big names are saying that 1 to 3% is all of the conversion they're getting from their social media. So if you're looking at your conversion from your email marketing, it is vastly better. So the best thing you'll ever do is get them back to your website, get them into your products so they know how to find other products, get them back into your home on the web, get them on your email list to where you can have permission to do more extended conversation with them. But that is another place you could use your writing to help develop that. So stay connected with them. Make sure you never sell one book. You never do one event where you're not letting people know how they can get more of you and where they can find you. In fact, did you see me just say, I didn't do it really necessarily with this purpose, but I always, through my teachings, will say, you can find me at Cindy Rushton, RUSHTON.com. That's my home on the web. That's where you will always find me. But I'm also using my name in LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest. You can find me in all those places, but you're not going to find everything I'm about anywhere but at my website and through my mailing list. That's where you're going to find out what I've really got going on, because social media, I don't put all that out there. That's not really the purpose of it. And I try to put some of it out there, but inevitably I am really not good on all my social media. I'm too busy to sit and tell everything that I do there. I try, but you know what? I can't do this. And I'm just telling you that I know that is an obstacle for so many people. You've got to know the limitations to putting everything there. That's going to hold you back from being everything that you could be. So stay connected with them. Get them over to your website. Get them over to your email list. Yes, connect with them on your social media. But find ways to stay connected. Also, take your brain to the bank. Yeah. What can you take from your brain today and take it to the bank? One of my friends said that she called it that your brain is like an ATM. You can literally go and make a draw and you can have something that's profitable. What is your most profitable idea today? Can you go in there and leverage that idea and the time that your next little bit of time and get your idea out there in an article, a book, a blog post? Come on, you can do this. Get those ideas out of your brain and get them on paper or in the computer. And then stay on the move. Keep moving. Bit by bit by bit, you're going to get there. Build it constantly. Keep on moving. You know, what do you do when problems hit? They're going to hit. I'm going to tell you that probably if you start writing today, something crazy is going to happen. The past few weeks have been so crazy, but I've been working on some really big projects, and I have that just like everybody else. You guys, I want for you to know, if you are a believer and you're doing this for the glory of God, I can promise you that the minute you start working, you're going to have things start happening. You cannot stop every time problems hit you. You can't get frustrated and lose it and pull back and quit. No, you've got to keep moving. You got to stay positive and keep smiling. You got to know that obviously, if you've got warfare, then that is definitely the message that needs to be out there. Handle those challenges with grace. Use solutions-focused thinking, not victim thinking. And you can fall apart later, but more than likely, when you get this thing done and you do that next thing, that thing that fires you up, you're going to find that those problems pale in comparison to the glory. So, get creative now. So, we've determined your message. We've uncovered and developed that message. Next, we're going to study about how to share that message. Okay, we're going to talk about what to do to get this thing out there. And that's the bottom line. There's no lids, no limits, no boxes, no boundaries with God. He wants you to take that message out there to the world. He wants for your message to be out there. Somebody needs you. Somebody needs your message. Somebody out there is desperate for your help, your hope, and your direction. Will you step up to the call today? Will you do this hard work of uncovering, developing, and sharing your message? Oh, I pray you do. I believe you've got some of your sweetest days ahead of you. You have so much that you're going to be able to pour out, and you're going to help people that are sitting right in those places where you've been before. You're going to help them in a way that's going to offer help and wholeness. It's going to offer healing. It's going to offer freedom. It'll probably even offer them a vision of where they could step up to the call. So, my friend, today's your day to step up to the call. God has a mighty message. I would say a bunch of mighty messages inside of you. Your message is so needed, and today's the day. If you're wondering if you're supposed to do it now, the answer is yes. And that brings me to the next topic. We're going to take a break and we're going to come back to talk about writing now. Yes, now. You can do it. Okay, take a break and I'll see you right back.